Now, the life of Mary Sutton. Yesterday, District Attorney McGraw opened his vicious, relentless drive for a conviction against Max Sanders. Worn and deeply distressed with the day's proceedings, Mary returned home, accompanied by John Benson. Together, they faced the reality that in a few days, Max might be given a prison term. And then what? Both saw that Danny Stratford, husband of an invalid wife, and Mary Sutton, wife of an imprisoned husband, would be in the same boat, confronted by similar temptations. And on this desperate but plaintive note, we left him. It is the following evening. Mary has remained home with Phyllis while the others have gone to Fulton to attend the second day of the trial. An afternoon paper lies in Phyllis's lap as she sits in her wheelchair.
Phyllis? Phyllis? What? Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. I was thinking of Stanley. Max and you.
Well, I'm glad I didn't offer you a penny for your thoughts then. They weren't worth it.
Oh, I like that. Stanley's my husband and Max is my brother.
And Max is my husband. But let's try not to think of him too much, huh?
I always think of Stanley. I can't help it. I've got to think about him. That's part of the bargain in being married. Thinking of each other and belonging to each other. Belonging to each other.
In spirit, yes.
Why not? I don't believe that.
Because you're so young, dear, both of you.
Suppose Max goes to prison. How would you feel about it?
Phyllis, I stayed away from court today because it's the same cruel business over and over and over again. The business of taking Max out of my arms. But I know that people can be out of each other's children for a long, long time and still be together. The marriage laws say, until death do us part. But ask old folks. People who were happily married, people who had golden wedding anniversaries and then lost their dearings. They aren't parted, even by death. No. No, they sit in the twilight, smiling sweetly to themselves, while their children and grandchildren say sadly, "Oh, poor mother, she misses dad so much." Or, "Poor grandfather, he's lost without granny." But they're wrong, Phyllis. They're with each other, the old folks, somewhere on the other side of the night, together in a spirit.
But we're young. You're young. We need love and someone to care for. And someone who cares for us. And of course, with me and with you. Me, I'm a Christian.
Danny loves you, Phyllis. And you've already given him two beautiful children.
We always said three would be just about right.
I know.
I don't be angry, really. But I was reading a book, trying to think of other things. There was a picture of an old piano set there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a figurehead on the front of the book.
Oh, yes, I know what they are.
A wooden carving of a beautiful woman. But as you say, there was only half a woman, carved out of wood. It looked like a woman, but it wasn't. Was dead. No life. No life out of it. Just wood. Mary, I'm afraid of leaving them. I'm just no good. I'm not wanting
nonsense, Phyllis. Really, I'm going to be quite impatient with you.
Oh, it was just that picture that kept me thinking again. Oh, then I get so terrible.
Well, I think I'd better stay home with you a little more.
I'd like it, Mary. Oh, yeah. I thought during the trial...
I told you I can't stand sitting there and watching them tear Max to bits. I'll read about it in the papers.
I wonder what happened after the recess report. Papers just up until 12 o'clock.
same old thing. Questions and answers. Question, answer. QA, QA. What the mighty prosecutor said. What the witness said. Objection, overruled, sustained. It's an inquisition, a three-ring circus, though.
Well, according to the paper, Max's lawyer, Thomas Moore himself, considering. The prosecutor's got these captured gamblers who turned state's evidence to testify, and, well, the defense just digs up their criminal records, and that's the end of them.
Yes. The word of gunmen and gangsters can't be worth much in court.
What about Cheney? He's a gambler, too.
Yes. Mr. Cheney is different. He's been friendly with Max. He knows more about Max than any of those others. If he testifies damagingly,
well, he will, won't he? That's why he was so nervous about him turning up, and so he finally gave himself up.
The prosecutor might be saving him for the final blow.
Are you going to be there?
I think so. It'll be the last day of the prosecution. I want to be near Max then. I hope Jimmy doesn't understand this after all. Oh, that must be Danny. Oh, Dr. Benson, I'll be right back, Phyllis.
Oh, I hope it's something good for a change.
The wind can always blow from the north. Oh.
How do you do, Mrs. Thatcher? Good afternoon.
Why, yes, come in, Mr. Cook. May I have your seat?
Thank you, but I'm staying just a moment. Oh, good evening, Phyllis.
Hello, Mr. Cook.
May I give... have a word with you, Mrs. Thatcher.
I'll go now.
No, Phyllis. What is it, Mr. Cruz?
Yesterday I volunteered my good offices in a little matter concerning your husband.
About getting acquitted if he turned over his control in Sanders' room?
Stop here. We aren't alone,
you know. I can trust Phyllis. And let me thank you, Mr. Cruz, for giving us reasons of hope.
Hope?
Yes. Max is being sentenced would solve your problems most neatly. The fact that you offered to get him acquitted shows that you believe he just might not be convicted. So, thank you.
Think just as you like, Mrs. Sanders. Just now I'm here to make another friendly gesture.
Yes?
Yes. I've been speaking to William Brown, the superintendent of the mill.
Oh?
He's been sounding out the sentiment of the mill hands as regards you and your husband. He reports, very reluctantly, that... That sentiment is not good.
I suppose that makes you very unhappy.
Beside the point, I simply wish to warn you that if your husband is convicted, it might be wise for you not to remain in town. The people would likely resent your presence. I hope you understand.
And Mr. Brown shares that prejudice?
He is a servant of the people. As the mill goes, so goes Sanders.
I still don't believe it.
Like I get Mr. Brown on the telephone for you?
No, I can see this point. Naturally, they wouldn't want me around as a reminder that they once took that test in that time.
I merely wish to prepare you for eventuality.
Thank you. And goodbye, Mr. Cruz.
Another moment. You may be interested to know that your good friend, Mr. Cheney, will testify tomorrow.
Goodbye, Mr. Cruz.
Yes. Yes, of course. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Is it all true? Could he have had Max acquitted?
He offered to, and I refused, Phyllis. They haven't even heard from forgiveness, I did not.
And now they want to drive you out? What have you a right to?
Phyllis, we're sisters under the skin, but we won't be unwanted women, will we, Don? Not without the fight of our lives.
Leave it to Gerald Proust to be the bearer of evil tidings if he thinks he can weaken your morale in this crisis, Mary. But it's an ill wind that blows no good, and there's nothing to make Phyllis Pike like a cause in common with you.
One nine.